greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us. Good morning, everyone. It is good to see you here, and I'd like to welcome you. There's visitors here today from Manitoba. There's other visitors. I just want to welcome you. One is Brother George Braun and his wife. He used to teach Sunday school here, and we're glad to have you. We trust that as we fellowship together, that we will experience God's amazing love. And I trust that is today with all of you, like we read the psalmist David, he said in Psalms 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Isn't it beautiful that we can be in the house of the Lord, where we can be under the word and invest our time in things that will last to eternity, into eternity. Eternal values we learn. And so today I have chosen to speak on Psalms 78. It is a beautiful psalm, there was one verse or one phrase, a question in that psalm that got my attention. And that is what my message has built from there, and it is such a beautiful psalm, and where we can get to know in that psalm how God deals with his people and how we people fall short so often and we forget so easy. But before I read that, I'd like to read a few verses out of Ephesians 3. It is a prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesian church. And the reason I have chosen to read those verses is because the answer to the question in Psalm 78 is in these verses. In Ephesians 3, verse 16, it says, Paul, he prays that he, God, would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye would be rooted and grounded in love, and that ye would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be able to be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Here's a prayer that's not an empty prayer, and it's not an empty prayer for the church here today, that we will be able to comprehend through the Spirit, through his servant, with all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, that we would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we will be able to be filled with the fullness of God. When we're just by ourselves and rely on our human thinking and ability, life is pretty empty. In fact, life can be pretty discouraging. But when we are filled with the fullness of God, it can be beautiful. And then the answer, the question, you'll hear the question later, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And then we'll turn to Psalm 78, to our text. I'm going to read from verse 9 to 20. But before we do that, I would just like to invite you to bow with me for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning. We want to thank you for your amazing grace. I want to thank you, Lord, for the provisions of the church. You say in your word that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so you're building your church still today. We believe that by faith, that we are part of the church. Lord, we pray that you will be with each one here today. We thank you that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord, I pray that you will continue to do a work here. I pray that your Holy Spirit will be here. We invite you. We pray that you will come down with your presence and meet us. Lord, we need you so desperately. Lord, speak to us through your word as we read it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 78, verse 9 says, "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his laws and forgot his works and his wonders that he showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of the Father, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea, and he caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand in a heap. In the daytime also he led them by a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness, and gave them drink as out of a great depth. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused the waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him," God, "by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, 'Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?' Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people?" May God bless as we meditate on his word today. Whenever we open the scripture, we are reminded of God. It is God speaking to us. What God is like. And so, like I mentioned before, that there is the question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Got my attention. And we're living in a time when our nation is turning away from God. When I look out into the world, sometimes we as believers, we can become overwhelmed with what's going on. And we don't seem to need him in our personal lives. You watch people. They don't need God. Our schools, we can remove prayer. We don't need God. Nor our governments. I have often thought, what would it be like if our leaders in the world would say, excuse me, cry out to God for help, instead of saying, we can fix it with our own strength, our own means, and our own tax dollars. So the question has come to me, is it possible for a country to turn back to God? Is it possible for families to turn back to God? Is it possible for marriages to be restored? Is it possible for relationships to be restored when it looks so impossible? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? The psalmist here, he observes the rebukes that the people of Israel had brought on themselves by the way they dealt with God. And today, I want to focus a little bit on the answer and the question. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? In Ephesians, we read that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So the answer today is yes, God can. We know that in the Christmas story, We know that Mary was told that she was going to conceive a son, and his name would be called Jesus. And we know that Mary was very marveled. She said, how can this be? This is impossible. I don't know a man. But then in Luke 1, verse 37, the angel comes and tells her, nothing is impossible with God. So can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And today, you might be sitting here thinking that you are in the wilderness. You think your life, it's impossible for this or impossible for that. However many lives we have here today, there's things in our lives that sometimes we can't see into the future and how it's going to work out. If we look at some of the verses previous in this chapter, let's look at verse 2. It says, verse 1, it says, give ear, O my people, to my law. God speaking. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in the parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old. He's going to record some of the things that have maybe been left in the dark that he will show us. He's going to tell us some dark sayings of old. The past generations have received a revelation that some current people here had not. It is like he's saying some of this information is in the dark, and he wants to get it out to his in the open, because the generation now needs to benefit from history. We read verse 4, it says, let's read verse 3, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wonders works that he hath done. For he has established the testimony of Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should walk, make them known unto their children. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. When we think of these verses, I believe, if I got my calculation right, there's five generations here. That the wonders that God had done were supposed to be passed on to the generations next to you, and the next generation, and those that weren't born yet, that they could share them with their children. So that the generation to come might know them, that they were not hid from their children. Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. How often have you sat down with your next generation, or even the second or third generation, and told them about the mighty works that God has done in your life? When have you sat down and told your children where you got saved and the works that God did in your life, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments? In Joshua, we read in Joshua 4, it says, and it came to pass, when the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, when you go through, in the middle of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. As they walked through, they were supposed to take 12 stones and put them where they're going to be lodging, on the other side of Jordan. Why? In verse 21, or 20, it says, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. He put them on an altar, as the Lord had commanded. In verse 21 it says, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what mean these stones? When your children in the next generation will ask, what's all about, what are these stones all about? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. And all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. There's a reason. When we tell of the wonders, even here today in Psalm 78, we hear of the wonders, how God caused the water to stand like a wall and the people walked over. Could you imagine? Here's a river. Just imagine a river. And an enemy behind you, and all of a sudden, the water opened up and it stood there till you were passed over. That's the mighty hand of God. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. So we read in our text, in verse 12, it says, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea, and he caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud. Can you imagine if God would lead you with a cloud and all night with a light of fire? He clave, or he split the rocks in the wilderness, and he gave them to drink out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused the waters to run down like rivers. Amazing. Out of the rocks came the water when they were thirsty. But the people, here we see God is able. If God can split the rocks and cause water to come out of the rocks and cause the water to run down like the rivers, then God can take care of all your struggles and trials and needs. But we see what God can do, but we see how people are. Verse 17. And they sinned yet against him, more against him, by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. How did they provoke him? And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. You know, God is so richly providing, and we continually want more just for our own lust. Let's not think that we're any different than the people of Israel. In verse 19 it says, they spake against God. They saw all the things that he had done, and they said, they asked this question mockingly, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? They've seen everything he did and then asked the question. And then they said, behold, he smote the rock and the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? No, there's a problem. Here we see in our text, in verse 11, and they forgot the works. No, sorry, verse 9. And the children of Ephraim, being armed and carried bows, turned back in the day of battle. Now, how much sense does that make? When we have the army on, or the, we're armed with the to go to battle, we have all the tools, the ammunition. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, ready to go, turned back in the day of battle. Luke 9, verse 62 says, if we put our hands on the plow and we look back, we're not fit for the kingdom of God. Ephesians 6, verse 12. I want to read a few verses out of Ephesians. Verse 11. Ephesians 6, verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We are in an evil world. We need to have our gear on, and we need to continue looking forward. In verse 12 it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness and darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're fighting. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand ye therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having your breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the shield of faith. Brothers and sisters, so often we see Christians defeated and discouraged. Take the shield of faith, that you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. By faith, we continue in life. We do not put on the armor. And then in the day of battle, turn back. We have a warfare to fight, spiritual warfare. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Here we see we too have a lesson to learn from history. We have seen, our generations have seen, the generations before us, how God has led them. And so often we forget about the mighty works that God has done. And God has been faithful till today. And yet we don't trust him for the future. And when the battle and the trials and the struggles come, we so often we turn back. We're supposed to have the armor on, that we're going to be able to stand in the day of trial. They forgot the works and his wonders that he had showed them. They were not unaware or blinded. They had seen the hand of God, and yet they obeyed him not. Is it any wonder that when we get to verse 19, that they speak against God? What are we going to do? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? They were frustrated because they forgot what God had done in the past. in disbelief. They were crying out and almost, or mocking God. Do you think God can do something about this? It's really what they were saying. They had seen that he had done the impossible, and yet, can God do something about this? Do you think in our time God can actually put a table in the wilderness where there's nothing grows? No great wheat fields or corn fields, there's nothing. It looks so impossible. Barren, desolate. Can God really do that? I was reminded of Psalms 23. The psalmist David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He prepares a table in the presence of his enemies. God can do the impossible. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Sometimes we seem to be in the wilderness. I've had people approach me and say, what do you do when you just feel that God has removed his hand from my life? These are believers. He was in the wilderness. Maybe you are in the wilderness. We may be asking, how am I going to make it? It looks so impossible. Many people are in life. They are hopeless. They lose faith. They turn back. Today I want to encourage you, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let's remind ourselves of the mighty acts and the works that he's done and how he has faithfully led you till today. And when we get to the New Testament here, in the New Testament, we read of many Christians. They were thrown in prison, whipped, great persecution. And so we see in the world today, they're being persecuted. There's all kinds of unrest, division, war, and rumors of war. You and I live in a time where we face pressures. Our faith is being tested. Are we going to stand? Do we have the armor on? Do we know the truth? Do we know God's wonders that we will be able to stand when trials come? When we get orders from government and laws are being passed that are an abomination to God. I just want to read Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19. We need to know the truth. Proverbs 6, verse 16, it says, these things doth the Lord hate. Yea, even seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. All over we see deception. And we as believers, we need to have our armor on, that we will be able to stand. There's people in our day that can testify that they've been betrayed in recent times and things have gone wrong in their lives and they've been hurt, thinking there's no way out. You may ask yourselves, can God really do anything about this, my life, my situation? The answer is God did in the past. God will in the future, if it is his will. And I'm just so amazed at how God did these things. He did all these wonders. people get discouraged and they provoke God in their heart and they test God, mock God with questions. And then we are reminded in Psalm 78, a little further down in verse 35, we see the heart of God. Verse 35, it says, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. They remembered those things. They had it in the back of their mind. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. Their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Where do you and I stand today? Do we have God kind of in the back of our mind? That he is the rock and he is our salvation, he is our Redeemer, but we nevertheless, with our mouth, we lie to him, our tongues, the heart is not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. And then we see God. But he, God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert? How often have we grieved him? And yet we see God full of compassion. He forgives us our iniquity and he destroys us not. We have an amazing God. We need to repent. We need to turn to him. It's like the people said, we're going to do our own thing and we will do what we want and expect God to bless us. Brothers and sisters, what God has done before, he can do again. When others can't, God can. People let people down. Some people put their faith in people. But people let us down. But you can trust God. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. If he can split a rock and cause the water to flow out, if he can cause the water to stand like a heap, is there anything that God can't do? Many families throw up their hands and say, there's no use in carrying on. I would like to tell you today, if you surrender your will to God's will, if you will let him do what he can do, he will do it. There's many bitter and broken hearts, many negative things deep inside of our hearts. There will be all kinds of advice of what we should do or where we should go for help. But it is my conviction today to tell you, brothers and sisters, listening audience, that you need to know that great physician, Jesus Christ. He alone is the one who can. He did. And he will. No, not that long ago, I was driving and I seen homeless people on the highway walking with a bag on their, and it looked so hopeless. My heart went out to that person. We look at homelessness today, it's becoming more and more evident. I ask the question, is there hope for the people that are all mixed up in drugs? Yes, there is. They need the gospel. We can tell them there is a God in heaven who can help people in the past, he will do it today again. We need to believe that God can do it again. Whenever things seem to be impossible with men, they're possible with God. We just are reminded of Scripture, of a few characters in Scripture. Noah, him and his wife and his family, they were called, eight souls were living right, walking with God. And God called them to build an ark. Never rained. And here he was to build an ark. Because there was going to be a flood. They had never seen rain before, and they discovered that God was able to do what he said. In Joseph, a little later in Genesis, we read of Joseph, everything seemed to go against him. He was thrown in a pit and maybe have looked in prison, and it would have looked impossible for him. Things weren't going well for Joseph for a time. But Joseph knew that God would ultimately bless him again. Read of Moses. He said, they won't believe me. Nothing is impossible with God, brothers and sisters. I can't talk. I can identify with Moses. But God demonstrated to Moses that he could use him. He had done things in the past, and he would still do them now. We think of Joshua. We think of Job and David and many others. Daniel and the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. John the Baptist, Saul of Tarsus, and Peter. I'm reminding you today that we do not forget the mighty works of God. What he did then, he can still do today. As a reminder of these things, that we might set our hope in God and not forget his work, the works of God. Do we actually believe that our God is bigger than what we see every day? That what he has done, what he has left us with in history, that we believe those works? Do we actually believe that nothing is impossible with him? Because if we do, then our faith is strong. And we will be able to stand in the time of trial. We won't have to take, in the time of battle, we won't have to turn back. We will have the armor on. When the desert is scorching in your life, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know one who does. And I want to introduce you to him today again. It's Jesus, the God that we serve, the God that Scripture talks about. Remember that God can still furnish a table for you, just like he has done in the past. Remember when your heart is cut deep so that you think you will bleed to death. Remember, God still can. When the lights grow dim in old age, God still can. When the governments and authorities press hard, and it looks like it's all going to pot, God still can. When our world is full of violence, we think, can't people just get along? God still can. It's because we have forgotten God. We've turned back
We mock God. When unborn babies are being killed, God still can. When drugs kill hundreds of thousands in the country, as we see it in the last years, God still can. When lies are taught as truth, God still can. When the education system falls into the hands of ungodly men, God still can. When you teach your children right, God still can. When you share the gospel, God still can. When you refuse to go with the flow or the majority, God still can. When you stand up for truth, whether it is a small or a big issue, or wherever the crowd, God still can. The God who did, still can, and he will. When you've done everything you can, and it still doesn't seem to be enough, remember, God can. When you refuse to quit, no matter how dark the day, remember, God can furnish a table for you. When this question was asked, it was a mocking question. God has done it for the generations before. He's done it for generations after, and he will continue to do it for us. We need to declare it to the next generation. We need to declare the mighty works of God and what God has done in your life. That when your children or great-grandchildren will say, what did Grandpa do here? Why did he do this? Or why did he stand so strong on God's word? Then the next generation has an answer. And it is for the purpose that they might set their hope in God, that they will too get to see and know God and not forget the works of God and keep his commandments. And not be, as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that has set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. I want to close with Jude, a few verses in Jude. Jude 17, it says, but beloved, brothers and sisters, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember those words. How that they told you there should come mockers in the last days who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they that separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, build up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Build yourself up in your faith. Read the Word of God. Listen to those that have gone on before you. And for those, for us, that we share what God has done for us, that they can see how real God is in each one's lives. But ye, beloved, build up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and not turn back. We cannot turn back. If we turn back, we're not fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning. As the Word of God has spoken to us, Psalmist David has recorded with the children of Israel how they put on the armor and they were ready to fight, and yet in the day of battle, they turned back. Lord, we are a people just like the Israelites. We are prone to go with the flow, or when the pressure's on, we retreat. But Lord, I pray that we will be like we read in Ephesians, that we will put on the whole armor of God, that we will put our faith will take us through the shield of faith to protect us from all these. Lord, we pray for this generation, the next generation, and the generations to come, that you, like you said in Scripture, that you will continue to build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, Lord. And we see your amazing mercy, how you did not remember their iniquity. You forgave them. You were full of compassion. You forgave them their iniquity and destroyed them not. So, Lord, I pray that you will go before us. You will raise up generation after generation till you come. Lord, that we can be a beacon in this world. How desperately we need men and women, boys and girls, young people to stand up for Jesus, to stand up for truth. Lord, we recognize when we are in a culture of falsehood and deception. It's like the seven churches. They struggled with the culture around them, and each one differently. And so we have a culture in our world. And I pray, Lord, that we will be able to see clearly with our spiritual eyes the truth. That you will lead us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. That we will be able to identify when something isn't right. That we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Lord, that we will remember the works of God. We will keep his covenant. We will walk in his commandments. Lord, we thank you that you are amazing God, that we read in the New Testament, as we read today, that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord, today our desire is that we would be on fire for the Lord, that we would walk with you. Lord, that we would have a relationship, that families would have a relationship with you. Fathers, Lord, would commit their home to you, that they will take spiritual leadership in their home, that we husbands would love our wives like Christ loved the church, that children would obey their parents, which is the first commandment with a promise that it would be well with them, that children stir up in their hearts that they will realize the blessing of mother and dad. And from generation to generation, Lord, that we as grandma and grandpa, we will not hold back of sharing the goodness and the truth and the good news of Jesus Christ to the next generation. Lord, so often we see when we do funerals, maybe their grandpa or their parents walked with the Lord and the children are not walking with the Lord. We are just like the Israelites. We turn back. I pray, Lord, that you will raise up men and women to be a light for you, and that you will use us to share the good news to them, that they will not forget God. Lord, we think of people, even in this congregation, struggling. Spiritual struggles, Lord, I pray that you will do a work. You will come down with your Holy Spirit and you will nudge those people that you want to touch today. Remind them where they have failed and sinned and come short of the glory of God, that they turn back to you, Lord. It is so important that we're spiritually healthy. But Lord, we also pray for those that are physically suffering. We know that there's many, many people sick, even in our congregation, Lord, and there's so many, I won't name them by name, but Lord, you know each one of them. pray that you will be near to them, give them the strength, and that they too can just walk by faith, that they will not turn back in the time of trial, that they will keep their faith, Lord, that they will recognize that you are still God, and that you will help them, you will carry them through. You are faithful. You will uphold us with your right hand of righteousness. You have promised never to leave us or forsake us, and we thank you for that. And so we pray that you will continue to do your work. Bless the word that has been spoken, and just be with us, Lord, in a special way. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.